Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds and help us to live in the life you call us. In your name we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine something for a few moments. Think of yourself as that proverbial fly on the wall. And this time you're spending the day inside the home of some really, really good friends of yours. And you get to observe their day. It starts out pretty normal. They're having breakfast, so you watch that. Then you watch the kids as they go down to the basement and they play. And then later on in the later afternoon, mom and dad, they're making dinner. And soon the kids and mom and dad, your friends, really good friends, gather for dinner. Pretty much the normal stuff. You do that in your own home. Most people do that sort of thing. But it says you hear the conversation around the dinner table that you begin to take notice. In fact, what you hear really surprises you. You didn't expect that coming from your friends. It almost kind of amazes you what they said. Dad speaks up and says, "Kids, Mom and I have sold your bicycle helmets and we sold your life jackets so you won't have to wear those anymore. In fact, while we're at it, you won't have to wear your seatbelts in the car." You're a little taken aback, kind of surprised that they would do that. But then Mom speaks up and she says, "Well, you know, kids, school is going to be starting in a week or so, and there will be no homework allowed in this home. And in fact, your bedtime, well, you can make it whatever you want." Well, the kids begin to cheer, but it's not over yet. Dad says, "Oh, you know this thing about brushing your teeth and changing your underwear and cleaning your room? Well, all that stuff is overrated. You won't have to do that anymore." The last thing you witness is the kids standing up and cheering. They're grabbing Dad's power tools. They're running with scissors. And they're playing in the middle of the street. And you report back to your spouse in absolute shock. How could this be? These are people that we thought we knew really well. These are people who we thought shared the same ideals and parenting skills. How could they do this? How could they say those things? How could we not see that? In fact, you begin to think maybe we don't want our kids associating with that. Well, if you can begin to wrap your mind around that kind of situation, then maybe you'll begin to understand why Jesus was so rejected in his time in the first century in Israel. You know, the people of Israel in the first century, they were waiting for a Messiah. And for them, the Messiah was going to be this powerful king. He was going to defeat the Romans. He was going to make that kingdom of Israel again powerful, and he would rule with an iron fist. When Jesus arrives, he starts saying things that go against every self-respecting Jew, what they believed in. He came and instead of saying powerful things, he says to them, "There's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. No difference between slaves and free." And he said to them, "I have come to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. If you love me," he says, "you have to hate your mother and your father, your brothers and your sisters. In fact, you are to love your enemies and not hate them." And then he says, "You are to sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor." Well, if you've ever wondered why Jesus was so unpopular with the religious leaders of the day, it's that reason. He took all the things that they believed, all the things that they held to be sacred, and he turned them upside down and replaced them with these radical ideas. The first shall be last, the slave will be free, the poor shall be rich. You know, we sit here today in the 21st century. We read these things about what Jesus says and we say, "You go, Lord. That's really the way to hit all those pious people. Good for you." Except we forget something. See, those words of Jesus, they haven't changed in over 2,000 years. And now he's speaking directly to you and me. Today, you and I, well, we're the wealthy and the proud. We are the ones who are comfortable with our religion. We are the ones who separate ourselves from those sinners out there. Today we say that Jesus is for us, which means that he's against them. Well, when you really read the verses of Scripture, we sometimes assume that, well, those passages, they don't really apply to us. There must be some error in the translation. Jesus didn't really mean for you and I to do the same things. Someone once said that Christians of this century tend to take Jesus' words and grind them down, smooth out all the rough edges, make them so that we are comfortable with what he says. And so we say, well, we're really not supposed to give our possessions and money to the poor, are we? We're not really supposed to visit the sick and those in prison and the poor. We're really not supposed to choose to be the last person in line and the servant of others, are we? But what if we are? What if we are? You know, our text for this morning in the gospel lesson starts out so wonderful, so nice and lovely. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." What wonderful words. There's so much in our life today, in our world, in which we are fearful of. We have anxiety. We don't know what's going to happen next in our life. And what comfort it is for to hear Jesus say, "Do not be afraid, little flock." But then it gets better. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. That we like. We like those kind of passages. We like to hear those things. We want sermons preached about those things. That's the type of God we want to come and worship. Have no fear. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Where can I go? Where can I be? Tell me and I will receive all of that stuff. Then he goes on. Sell all of your possessions. And he nails us with that verse. Sell what you have and give the money to the poor. Now, he couldn't possibly mean that for us. We're not supposed to take that literally, right? I mean, surely he doesn't tell us that we are to live in poverty, but that we have to sell our homes and our cars, to give away our bank accounts, to give away our Cleveland Browns season tickets. Well, maybe that we would want to get rid of. Does Jesus mean that literally? Does he really mean that we can't serve two masters? That if we worship money, we can't worship God? If we worship God, we can't worship money. Is it really that radical? You know, this is one of the passages in Scriptures that we really refuse to interpret literally. There's other passages that, well, yeah, definitely that's correct. Definitely there's no change in that. But there are some passages like this that just, well, we grind them. We make them comfortable to fit our own way. Doesn't mean that, does he? Well, we have a few choices about what to do with that passage. One, we can do what I just said. You can pretend that it really doesn't apply to us. It's a misinterpretation, or it's only figuratively that he's telling us to do that. Or second, you may think that, well, I'm going to go ahead and follow that. I'm going to take all of Jesus' teachings and I'm going to follow them directly. And you can try to do that, but in the end you know it's impossible. And there's a third possibility. In fact, it's not just a possibility, it is a reality for you and me. It's how we live our lives. And that's, first of all, we have to admit that what Jesus says is true. What it says in Scripture, he calls us to do. We have to also admit that we are sinners. And we hear those passages and we say to Jesus, no. And we say it again, no. So we confess over and over again our sinfulness, our fact that we can't accomplish that. And we seek for God, his forgiveness. And God forgives us again and again and again. And he gives us a new start tomorrow. We confess that we can't do it. And in God's forgiveness, he gives us the energy to learn just a little bit more and to move a little bit further. And in the end, when we confess, we hear God saying to us, "Have no fear, little flock. Have no fear, little flock. For your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Have no fear, little flock." In Jesus' name, amen.